Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation exists to help people know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New Jersey and beyond. Enjoy the talk.
We all work together, and so we're going to continue, just like I said, in the sermon series called Foolproof. And what we're doing is we're studying the book of Proverbs and talking about Solomon. And as we began to really analyze or break down this book, before I went into the book, I had to go back and really study Solomon and just kind of who he was and what he was about. And the Bible says that Solomon was the wisest man to ever walk the face of the earth outside of Jesus. Now, when you hear that, it's like, man, I better listen up, because it seems like this man might know something that I don't know. And so as we begin to study a little bit about him, we understand that he was flawed. He had some issues that were going on in his life. And so first week we learned that and the thing that he was taught early as well was that the beginning of all wisdom starts with the fear of the Lord. And so if you don't fear God, that's where that wisdom comes from. You got to fear the one that gave you wisdom. My mic is mute. Oh, okay. All right. Thank you. My help cometh from the front row. Thank you. And so can you hear me now? Good. Yes. All right. Good. All right. I'll keep going. Second week, we talked about trusting in the Lord and how God is asking you and I to trust him in every area of our life. You know, there's nothing off limit with the Lord. And so when you hear the word Lord, you always think about him not just being Lord of the universe, but the Lord of your life. And if he can control the universe, then surely God can control and take care of your situation. So you have to think about it that way. Last week, Pastor Adam talked a little bit about the wisdom of your words, or the weight of your words, and how there's life and death in the power of the tongue. And so we understand that you can build people up or you can tear people down with your words. And so that was very important. And so today we're going to talk about the wisdom and the power of friendship or relationships. And so I always begin to think about the levels of friendship. When you go back over your life, you go back and you look and you begin to analyze those that you've walked with, friends that you've walked with, and you begin to look at those from elementary. And you had friends in elementary, and you know, you'd play together, and elementary was more just about, you know, everything is mine. Mine, mine, mine. The sandbox is mine. You know, the toy is mine. And so you learn to work things out at that level when you are young and you have friends. Then you move into middle school, and in middle school was always about friends. You know, you wanted to spend the night. Whose house can I spend the night with? And if your friend was cool, he would let you or him spend the night with them. And so that was the thing that you looked at in that level of friendship. Then you got to high school, and high school was all about who was the coolest. I got a couple of teenagers in my house, and that's what it was all about. You know, who's the coolest? I want to hang out with those, because those would be my friends. If you're cool, you can be my friend. And then maybe you move into college. And I remember going to college and everybody's there. You got all walks of life. You got all ethnicities. You got every kind of person jammed up on a college campus. And we're all trying to figure out, who am I going to be friends with? Who am I going to hang out with? So maybe you join a fraternity. Maybe you join a sorority. Maybe you were in athletics. But in that, you develop friendships. And it's funny, because I look back of the 5 years I was at Penn State University, and I was on this football team. And even on this little team, you still kind of had to find out who was really going to be your friend. You know, there's certain things you look at, qualities, characteristics. Is this really going to be the guy or the girl that I'm going to do life with? Can I trust him or her? Are they going to have my back? All these little things are running through your mind. You know, we come from different places. But can I build with this person? Are we going in the same direction? So you begin to analyze, it's going to be my friend. You know, it's funny, my friend in college, he was from Solon, Ohio, and I was from Nashville, Tennessee, and I grew up in Texas, excuse me, and I'm coming from Texas, and he's coming from Ohio. And we, all of a sudden, we start kind of talking about each other's past and hanging out. Next thing I know, we become really good friends as freshmen. Now, he was better than me. I'm going to tell you, so if you're watching today, you were better than me, you know. So he got to play as a freshman. And I was just like, man, this guy's amazing. He's playing as a true freshman at a big-time university. And so what we call redshirted. That means I took a year off just to really focus, get acclimated to the school and da-da-da-da. So he and I became good friends. He would help me on the field. We just do things together, do life. Then we became sophomores and then juniors, and we kept getting tighter and tighter and tighter. We graduate. He goes on to the NFL. He's a year ahead of me. Came out a year earlier, and then it goes on to the NFL. He's telling me things about the league and what to expect, and I'm thinking, man, I can't wait to get there. It was always about pulling me forward, never holding me back, just being a friend. And then I get married. Then he gets married. And then we start having children. And then a little bit along the way, we kind of drift. Because, you know, I get born again. My life's a little bit different now. We don't do things the way we used to do things. But God knows. I make the transition and move here, maybe 10 years later. We touch a base along the way. And you know, it's funny, man. He calls me. He says, man, I'm going to be in town. I got a little surprise for you. I'm thinking, all right, man. You know, so he comes in and he says, man, they've been asking me to move here, you know, take a job here. I'm like, bro, you're in Orlando, man. That's the happiest place on the planet, man. You know, Disneyland's there. You don't want to move. And he's like, no, my wife and I, my kids, you know, I've been getting job opportunities. And so long story short, my college roommate, one of my best friends, is going to be moving here in September. And he's going to be living with me for the first couple of weeks or months. And then he'll bring his family after the school year. So I thought that was kind of neat how God just kind of brought some things together. So he's a member of our church in Orlando. We have a sister church there. Tim Johnson's preached here before. So he's part of Tim's church. And so just wanted to highlight friendship. And so we're going to talk a little bit about Solomon and how Solomon was discipled or taught about how to analyze and how to look and find out who your friends are really going to be. And there's three levels of friendship I'm going to talk about today. There's fans, there's foes, and then there's brothers. Fans, foes, and brothers. And we're going to talk about these three today. And so Solomon, a young man, becomes king. His dad David is on his deathbed, and he gives his son a charge. He says, look here. I ran this kingdom the best that I can, but now I'm getting old. It's your turn. But I need you to understand this. It's time to be a man. And when I take this kingdom and I put it in your hands, there's some things that you're going to have to learn. And it's called people. See, there's certain people that you can walk with. And there's certain people that you can't. And so I want to tell you, there's some men in the camp that you're going to have to keep your eye on, because they don't want you to succeed. But I'm going to tell you, just like it was told to me, if you follow the ways of the Lord, if you take the law that was given to our forefather, Moses, and do what he says, you will be successful. But you're going to have to watch out, because there's some people that don't want you to succeed. And his father begins to go down the list of men in the camp that aren't so good. And so as he's telling him these things, he's like, yes, Dad, okay, I get it. I understand. See, his father understood friendship. His father had people around him that were, number one, loyal. They were committed. They were in it to win it. And his father was explaining, you're going to have to find men just like that. Even though you're the king, you're still going to have men like that, like Zadok the priest. Zadok the priest was in it with King David. He was loyal, but there was other ones that were out to get him. He's like, look, son, you're going to have to watch out for these other men that are religious, that know the law, but they don't want you to succeed. You're going to have to know about my man, Benaniah, who led the troops, the mighty men. See, he's got your back. When it's time to go to war, he'll be there with you. You need to trust him. Oh, yeah, don't let me forget about the one who confronted me, Nathan the prophet. Yeah, Nathan, he's with you. He's a man of God, and he will be there. So I think you need to watch out and make sure you bring him close to you. And then there was the other mighty men that David had, soldiers. And so David passes away. And you know what happens? The charge now is on Solomon to lead. Solomon begins to realize something. I'm a young man. Says, Solomon, took the kingdom probably in his mid-20s. Could you imagine all this weight, having to lead millions of people at a young age? Solomon humbled himself and went before the Lord and said, you know what? I understand I'm a youth. I don't know it all. Young people, it's okay if you don't know it all. And he went to the Lord and he said this, I'm youth and I'm weak and I need something from you. See, I want to do right, but there's so much pressure on me that wants to take me away to do wrong. And so please, Lord, give me wisdom, a wise and discerning heart. And the Lord answered that. And you know what? He didn't just give him wisdom, but he gave him everything else he wanted. But this is the decree. This is what's the stipulation. If you're going to be my man, you're going to have to do what I say. That's the beauty of God. He'll give us whatever we want, but we're going to have to be obedient and do what he says. He gave him two stipulations. Follow this, and please, whatever you do, don't marry outside of our people. Because I'm telling you now, these people that you marry will pull you away from your God. And you know what? You know the story. Kind of went away. But along the way, we can read, because this is the beauty about wisdom. Wisdom is looking far into the future and telling God, I want that. I think I can, if you can give me that, I'd love to learn more about that. Here it is right here. In Proverbs 18:24, it says, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, they said that Solomon in his heyday was worth $2.2 trillion. I think we better listen to a man that had $2.2 trillion. Now, we got billionaires in the world, but we're talking about a trillionaire. God gave him such wisdom that he was able to tell anybody anything that they ever needed to know. But the one thing that Solomon needed to know most was who was in his camp, who could be the most trusted. The first thing that you heard here says a man of many companions. That word companions would be today known as entourage or maybe a posse. No. The youth call it today your squad. Yeah, that's my squad. That's who I'm rolling with. Maybe you can call it your paisans, your buddies. Jesus' term was multitude, the multitudes. That it says, but when you have a lot of people around you and you don't know who's around you, bad things can happen. You can come to ruin. And so the first person I want to talk about in this group of friends is called fans. And what is a fan? A fan is a person that will tell you how good you are no matter how bad it is. They just keep telling, they love you. Oh, you're the greatest. You're amazing. You're unstoppable. I mean, they're just all over you telling you how good it is. And all of a sudden, as soon as it gets bad, the time has come for me to leave. Fans. And so I want to talk about my friend here, Neymar. I'm not a big soccer guy, but I leaned in a couple weeks ago when El Clasico came on. I had to watch it because there was so much hype about these two teams playing, Real Madrid and Barcelona. And they had what they called the big three on Barcelona. Lionel Messi was like the number one player in all of soccer. Then they had this man named Suarez. He was the other guy. Then you had Neymar, who you see here. And these three men were supposed to be like the three musketeers. They were inseparable. Man, they're winning championships. They're amazing. And Neymar is the guy. You see him. Look at the fans behind him. Man, he's holding up, taking a selfie. They couldn't get enough of Neymar. But you know what? After the game, El Clasico, Neymar said, man, I feel the money calling. I got to go. 240 plus million dollars is on the line. You think I'm sticking around hanging with y'all? I'm out. It says he signs a 5-year deal with a team in Paris. Largest transaction in the history of the game. And you know what those fans did? Go to my next slide. They burned that brother's jersey. See, we're talking about fans this morning. Those are the type of friends when things get tough, when things don't go right. Yeah, they're with you as long as you're winning, but as soon as you do something contrary to the walk, as soon as you get born again, as soon as you start serving Jesus, as soon as you start going to a connect group, as soon as you start serving the Lord, I don't take all that to serve God. Oh, yes, it does. And all of a sudden, those fans fall away. Now they want to burn up the pictures when you were younger. Now they want to break up the CD or the song that y'all used to, that was our song, but no, it's not no more. So all these things are being broken because they're fans. How many fans do you have? Jesus had a lot of fans. We call them multitudes. And you look in the book of John, verse 6, 66, it says that, man, when it got difficult, many of them walked with him no more. Difficult. Do you have fans this morning? Or do you have friends? Do you have fans, people that just tell you how good it is when your life is going down? See, Pastor Adam and I are friends. See, Pastor Adam and I, he will tell me stuff that I don't want to hear because we're friends. Friends, fans. People go around and just talk all the time about how good you are. My second thing is this, the next level of friendship are foes. Oh my, foes. That's what we call haters. Yeah. People that don't want you to succeed in life. All they care about is seeing you do bad and stay bad. They don't want you to break bad. No, they want you to stay bad. Their whole dream is to see you fail. And so they'll hang out around you from a distance, but they're not really there. They don't have your back. And what I call these people, I call them valley dwellers. What they like to do is hang out in the valley and talk about how bad things are. If you're doing bad, I'm doing bad with you. And they want to keep you doing bad together. And the Bible calls this in Proverbs 16:28, they call them troublemakers. A troublemaker plants seeds of strife. Seeds of strife, gossip, which in return separates the best of friends. Planting. So when you're planting, it's intentional, right? Don't you got to till the soil? Don't you got to kind of go get the seed and put it in the ground, make sure it's deep enough? It's intentional. See, these types of people, they're intentionally trying to break you up from God, break you up from your church, break you up from your friends, break you up from people that are like-minded, because when there's strife, a house divided can't stand. Strife. They're looking for ways to get in there to drive a wedge in between the things that you care and love about the most. Foes. They're sending emails and text messages, and there's always some gossip going on around. I don't need to be around gossipers. I don't want to hear how bad somebody else is doing. I don't want to talk about somebody. There's a difference between talking about something and trying to deliver the help than talking about something and deliver the bad and keeping people down. There's a difference. If you and I are going to talk about somebody, let's make sure that when we're talking, it's to make sure that that man or woman, we're trying to help come up with a solution for him or her. It says, man, they're foes. They're against you. They're in front of you. They're in your way. They don't want to see you make it. See, Solomon had these people in his camp. And God began to tell him, if you don't deal with these people, worse is coming. Your father explained specifically that certain men got to go. And I'm telling you this morning, there's certain people in your life. They may seem to be tight, but I'm here to tell you this morning by the Holy Spirit, it's time to take inventory of what's going on around you. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 15:33. It says that bad company corrupts good morals. Yes. See, you can be a good man, you can be a good woman, but if you have people around you that are constantly wearing you out, telling you how bad things are and how bad things are going to be, and if I were you, I don't need no if I were you people in my life. I need somebody that says, you know what? What is the Lord saying to you? Let's pray about that. Let's seek the Lord about that. Let's take it to God and let's see what he says and let him direct and let him guide and let him deliver. I don't need somebody telling me, well, girl, if I was you. No, we can't do that. No. We need to find some people that are grounded in the word that we can always say Jesus is the X factor. If it gets messy, Pastor Dottie, you know, if we have some little friction, and we're going to get there in a minute, if we get a little friction, we got to make sure that the X factor is the word. Not what I said, not what you said, but what does God say? Amen. But foes don't operate that way. As soon as it gets bad, it's gone. See, those following Jesus, long as it was blessing, long as it was healing, long as it was all-you-can-eat buffet, they was following them. But as soon as he began to preach the word, they left. Can't walk with him no more. Messing it up. And there's people like that. It says foes. It says they gossip. They separate the best of friends. People don't want you to have good friendships. There are people around you right now that are jealous of your friendships. Jealous of your connect group, jealous of your church, jealous because you got a pastor and pastors that love you and care about you, that'll bear along with you. Jealous because, man, you doing things. You're actually getting ahead in life. Man, your bank account's doing better. Whoa. You got a new house. You got a new car. All of a sudden your job. Oh, my goodness. No. Let me get in front of that and stop that. Foes. But there's one, it says, that sticks closer than a brother. There's one that sticks closer than a brother. Now, theologians make this determination between the two, a friend and a brother. Sticks closer. Why are they using that word brother? Because there can be siblings, brothers and sisters that aren't as tight as you and your friend. There's certain things that I can't talk to my sister about. You know why? Because she's going to tell my mom. And I can't do that. I'm like, sis, I was between me and you. Why are you going to tell mom now? I got to deal with her? No. Friends. What are some things that people look for in a friend? They look for someone that's going to lock in with you until you get the breakthrough. Until you come through on the other side, the one that's going to walk with you in the valley. It says in Ecclesiastes 4:12, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. What are they saying? You know what? When you're fighting and it's like, man, I got 20 devils on me. I can't. I got everything coming at me. My wife, my children. There's so much stuff going on. I can't. Oh, my God, I'm going to lose it. And all of a sudden you get a friend that comes alongside of you. And says, let's pray. Let's pray this thing through. Let's make sure that you keep that marriage. Let's make sure that you keep that child. Let's make sure you keep that job. Let's make sure that you keep the things that God has given you. Because we understand that the enemy, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. We're going to do life together. We're going to do life together. We're going to be men about it. We're going to be women about it. We're going to walk through this thing together. The Bible says in Matthew 18:18-19, where two or more are gathered together in my name, there I am in the middle of it, and whatever you two agree on in my name, it shall be done. That's why you need to find somebody that will pray with you, that will take your phone call in the midnight hour when all hell's breaking loose in your life, in your house, on your job, and say, you know what, I don't know what to do, but I know God does, and let's pray about that. Amen. Let's pray until we get the answer. I don't care if it takes a week. I don't care if it takes a month. I don't care if it takes a year, but we're going to lock in. Amen. We're going to lock in. A friend. I work with athletes. And always the athlete that says, I'm gonna go work out alone, is the one that ends up doing the worst on the team. But when that athlete goes and gets a companion, a workout buddy, a partner, all of a sudden, wait a minute, you did one more rep than I did. Let me do another rep. No, all of a sudden, no. You ran faster than I did. Let me run a little bit faster. And all of a sudden, it becomes a competition. But it's okay. Because the Bible says to provoke one another. Encourage one another. Provoke somebody. Ever get around somebody on fire for Jesus? Man, you be like, when am I saved? This person, all they do is talk about the Lord, Jesus this and God that and the Lord, and it's so good. And I woke up this morning and all of a sudden, but what happens is when you get around that person, it jumps on you. All of a sudden now, all of a sudden you got faith on you. Now all of a sudden you want to pray. Now all of a sudden you want to go to church. All of a sudden you want to read your Bible. Man, if God is doing it for them, he can do it for me. That's why Adam and I work well together. Dottie and I work well together. You know, Adam and I be driving. And I don't know, Pastor, man. She, you know, if it's going to work this time. Look at it. It's going to work, brother. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. What you talking about? We need some more churches, and we're going to plant these churches. We're going to get campuses. Yeah. We're going to do this, friend. Then there's that friend that you can open up and be real with. Talk about it. Safe place. You got a safe place where you can talk to your friend about? Be real. I'm talking like take the mask off, the mascara off. Oh, this is getting ugly. You know, the eyelashes are coming out, the weave's coming, all the hair. I mean, shoes coming. I mean, I'm just getting ugly, man. You're looking at each other like, whoo, I didn't know it was that bad. But you know, we here now. You know, let's just go on and talk about it. You know, the Bible says this. It says in Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend, say it with me, sharpens a friend. True friendships, it's going to be sparks. There's going to be some moments you're going to get ugly a little bit. You're going to talk, oh, wait, I don't know if that's really what the Bible is saying about that. Men being men. I see it all the time in locker rooms. I go in a locker room and I can see it coming when somebody's not doing their job and it's costing the team. And another player get in another player's face and say, bro, you're doing wrong. You're stinking the place up. Get it together. And you know what? That guy just kind of snaps out of it. You're right. Let's do this. Let's go out and let's take this thing. Do you have a friend like that? Do you have a friend if you're husband to husband and you're not acting right in your home with your wife? Do you got another brother that'll come and get in your face and say, brother, go home. Spend time with your wife. Spend time with your children. There's nothing good out there. Happy hour is not happy when you go home. If she is not happy. You got guys that'll tell you about your children, man. You need to spend time with them. Get involved. Go commit. Do something with them. You know why? Because if you don't, somebody else will. That's why I take pride in going and doing things for my children. I'm not afraid to give up something so that I can go spend time with, I coach my son's team. I'm involved in the community. I go to the games when I don't want to, but I'm there. Like, man, I didn't see this movie. It's going to be bad, but I'm going to be here. Friend, sharpens iron. There's this friction. Truth bearer. I got a story of a friend of mine back in Nashville there at this big event. Celebrities, everybody. And this guy's walking around shaking people's hands and just hugging people. He's kind of the life of the party. He's going around. And you know, at parties, you know, people like to eat, you know, kind of eat and just kind of going about their business. And finally, he walks up to my friend and he's just all in his face, shaking his hand. And man, my friend's kind of looking at him like, man, you know, looking at him, kind of got that stare like, bro, come here. Leans in on him and says, yo, you got a big gob of mustard right here on your face. And the dude was like, what? Man, I've been walking around talking to people and I got this mustard all on my face and nobody told me nothing. He's like, man, I'm sorry, bro, but it's been, you got mustard on your face. And you know what? That's us. Do you ever go around and tell your friends, hey, you got mustard on your face. It's not good. It's bad right now for you. You need to do this and not that. You need to go here and not there. You need to stop hanging around that and stop going here and doing that. You got friends like that? I do. I got a whole staff that'll do that. whole staff. They'll call me on the carpet in a minute. Just because I got the title pastor don't mean I can't have to, I have to still live what I preach on Sunday morning. So we talk about accountability. Who's holding you accountable? I'm held accountable. They're calling me. I'm a grown man. Where you at tonight, Pastor Sheena? What you doing? I'm at home, sleep. I got three kids. I'm tired. I ain't got time to be out there crazy. Yeah, I like that. I got friends that call me, man. They got one friend of mine, guy used to pastor in Nashville, calls me, says, man, every time we get off the phone, he asks me one question. He says, have you done anything that would cost you the position of leadership? Every time we get off the phone. And I'm looking, I go on the phone, no, bro, I'm straight. I'm good. Thanks for asking. Okay, I'm just checking on you, Pastor, just checking on you. Iron sharpens iron, truth bearer. Now, people, you're probably like, man, that's a bunch of do's and don'ts. That's like a checklist. How am I going to be able to do all of these things? You're telling me I can't gossip. You're telling me I got to stick closer than a brother. How am I going to do these things? The Bible says in 1 John 4:4 that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And see, as you follow Jesus and you have Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit in your soul and in your life, you can do exactly what God is calling you to do right now this morning. See, Jesus said this in John 15:13-15, greater love has no one than this, but to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends, paisans, buddies, squad mates, together, if you obey my commands. So you want Jesus to be your friend? You're going to have to do what he says. You want me to be your friend? You want me to lean in with you? You want me to be closer than a brother? You want me to be in the valley with you? You want me to be down there when it's bad? You want to be up top when it's good? You want to give me the glory? Do what I say. Do what I say. Walk with me. Let me lead your life. Let me be the Lord of your life. Let me be the boss of your life. Let me do what I'm called to do. And I promise you, your future will be bright if you allow me to step into your life and lead you and guide you and direct you. Oh, we can talk. Yeah, I'm the greatest listener. You know why? Because everything that you've gone through, I've gone through. See, I can sympathize with you. I can empathize with you. Yeah, I've had people walk out on me. Yes, I've had people speak bad about me. And you know what? I didn't do anything. But you know what? I still obeyed the Father. So what I'm telling you this morning is that the same God that spoke to Solomon and told Solomon, look, man, you're going to have everything a man can want and then some. But if you're going to keep it, you're going to have to obey my commands. And then you flip over to the New Testament, the New Covenant. In Jesus Christ. And Jesus is saying the same thing. You want what I have? Obey my commands. And I'm going to take you to a level you never thought you would get to. I'll call you from the valley and I'll put you on the mountaintop. I'll give you that man. I'll give you that woman. I'll give you the plan. I'll give you what you need. But let me tell you, you have to obey the blueprint. You got to follow the game plan. And if you do what I say, it'll be the greatest ride of your life. Because Jesus is really the one that sticks closer than a brother. And what happens is the enemy comes to bring shame, condemnation, bringing up your past, telling you what you did and what you don't have. But Jesus is right there saying, look here, all you have to do is turn back to me and tell me that you know what's been done is not right, but I'm choosing to do right today. And when you do that, you come right back into that true brotherhood, that true friendship, that true love. You know what? He comes in and he makes you the man or the woman that you're called to be. That's the Jesus that we serve. That's the God that we serve. And so this morning, as you take inventory, as you analyze who can stay in, who has to get out. I'm not cutting you off out of bitterness or anger or anything like that. But I do have a destiny. I do have a special birthright. God has made me to do some things. And I got to get the right people in my corner. I can't have a bunch of do-bads. I can't have a bunch of people that are holding me back. I got to find people that are going to speak life and life more abundantly. And so the take home this morning for you and I, are you and I going to do what he says so that we can have a true friend in Jesus Christ? Solomon, the wisest man in the world, solve any problem. Says this, man, look here. You can have many companions, all the people you want around you, but there's going to be a few, only a few, that can be in that inner circle that's going to stick closer than a brother. But I know the one that it's not going to go anywhere no matter what if you do what he says. His name is Jesus. Let's stand our feet. We're going to pray.
Thanks for joining us at Every Nation New Jersey, where our vision is to partner with God and people to transform the world one life at a time.